ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Wrapping up the day in cricket, this is Grandstand at Stumps.
We were promised an all-action affair and it certainly delivered the opening day of the Ashes series. Welcome to Grandstand at Stumps, Corbin Middlemass alongside Darren Lehman and Tom Moody. Oh, it was Mitchell Starc's day early, it was Ben Stokes' day late, and really they're two teams emblematic of that. Australia on top early, having bowled England out for 172, the tourists winning the toss and surprising many by deciding to bat first. Just one score over 50, that was Harry Brook with 52 as Mitchell Starc picked up career best figures of 7 for 58, but then the Aussies never got going with the bat. Through the card, Khawaja 2, Weatherald a duck, 9 for Labuschagne, 17 for Smith, 21 for Head, 24 for Green and 26 for Carey. It didn't get any better thereafter as the nasty fasties blasted their way through for England up the front with the new ball, and then Ben Stokes, when the ball got a little older, weaved his magic with a 5-wicket haul. At stumps, Australia 9 for 123, still trailing the test match by 49 runs on an opening day which produced 19 wickets and nearly 300 runs. What a way to start, Darren Lehman.
What an unbelievable day's cricket. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. We thought last year when Boomer got those wickets late that it was an amazing start to a test match here at Perth Stadium, but to equal that and go 19 in a day on a wicket that seemed pretty good, obviously it might be doing a bit more than we think, because Steve Smith's, you know, played and missed a lot. Like a lot of their blokes played and missed, so it must be doing more than we think. But it still looks a really good wicket. It's not a 170 wicket, a 120 wicket. But if you got entertainment, you got it today. What was it, 19 wickets for 300 runs. I mean, that is amazing.
Rick Finlay noting on the latter stages of the broadcast too that it is the most amount of wickets on the opening day of a test match in Australia since Sydney in 1952.
The sad thing for me, Tom, is that Ben Stokes actually got 5 for 23. A few half-trackers in there, again. I mean, and he's not express. But Wood and Archer shook us up today. That worries me.
Yeah, it's always going to be a potential concern, wasn't it? Because we know their high pace and having both of them going at the same time, it's relentless. You don't get that window where you can try to take advantage of the attack when those key bowlers are out of the attack. So, yeah, the scorecard tells a lot, really. What it tells you, it's a surface, firstly, hard to get in initially because there's a lot of single-finger scores, a lot of ducks in there, and then there's a lot of 20s, 30s and the 150, which Corbin mentioned, and that tells you that you're never in. So it's a surface that, you know, even if you do get to 20 or 30, where normally you feel you're set, you can then progress and get a decent or a substantial score, you never find yourself in on this surface. England were reckless in the back half of their innings, there's no question about that. You know, they'll be thinking they should have got 250, and I think 250 is about a par score on this surface. Australia just looked shambolic, really, right from the get-go with the bat in hand.
Very pleased to welcome the full-time test skipper of the Australian cricket team, Pat Cummins, who, of course, is not part of the 11 here in Perth, but good enough to join us post-play. Pat, firstly, welcome back to ABC Sport. What did you make of the opening day?
A bit happening out there today. Yeah, it feels like it was about 4 days' worth. I think it lived up to the hype. You know, day one of the Ashes series, 19 wickets. I didn't see that coming. But, yeah, it was good fun to watch. Wish I was out there, but enjoyed it.
Is the pitch doing plenty, or did you not bat well enough?
Oh, I think it's doing enough. I don't think it's probably warranted 19 wickets in a day. I think it was a bit of good bowling at times. Some of the batters probably wish they had another chance at some of their shots. I think it's a pretty good wicket.
Is it better than last year?
Yeah, it's always hard to know because I wasn't playing out there, but the ball got soft, so I think maybe a little bit harder than last year.
Everyone's lips. How's the back?
Feeling pretty good. Yeah, had a good few weeks of bowling. Had two good bowls out here. I'll have another bowl in the next couple of days and pulling out well, so that's kind of the aim. Have another few sessions, pull out well and have a crack at Brisbane, hopefully.
I think I saw you having a hit at some point during the day as well. You managed to sneak out to the nets with bat in hand.
Yeah, it's a long day if you just sit down and watch, have nothing else. So that killed 20 minutes.
Just on the performance with the ball, so obviously you're part of a future Hall of Fame trio alongside Josh Hazlewood and Mitch Stark. And yeah, there's only one of them playing in this match, and Mitchell Stark, without his two running mates, goes out there and takes career best figures of 7 for 58. What did you see from your good mate Mitch Stark today?
I don't think he needs anyone else at the moment. I think his last test match, he was 6 for 9 as well. So he's on a bit of a hot streak. It was fantastic. Right on the money from the first ball. Rhythm looked great. He's had great prep. And, yeah, just every time he gave him the ball, he created something. So really happy for him.
And Brendan Doggett, debut, looked quite comfortable. His first ball was unbelievable in test cricket.
Yeah.
Could have got a wicket, but he looked quite good.
Absolutely, yeah. He settled right in. I thought that first spell was amazing and then used some good bounce at the end. So, no, I thought it was a great first day from Brennan. Yeah, looks settled. Big nerves, big stage, but didn't seem to faze him.
Pat Cummins with us on Grandstand at Stumps, Australia 9 for 123, still trailing the test by 49 runs. So Australia's turned to bat, seemingly on top. England losing the last 5 wickets for just 12. All of a sudden you turn around and Usman Khawaja is not eligible to open the batting given the time that he missed on field. What happened with Uzi today?
Uzi had some back spasms in the field, so he came off and was getting a bit of treatment, some heat in it, stretching, kind of on and off, and got on the wrong side of the timings. A few quick ones at the end kind of meant that he couldn't bat, so I think he missed it by a few minutes.
So did he have back issues leading into the test match? We know obviously he's at an advanced age. He missed a Shield game with what was an adductor injury. Is this a new injury?
Just hard-hitting questions there. Wow. Jeez. No, he was all fine. Yeah, 100% fit.
100% fit, but not eligible to open the batting. So is he okay now?
I think so. I haven't seen him since he batted. Obviously, went out there and batted and looked like he's moving okay. So, back spasms, I think, are a little bit niggly, but you can kind of get through them.
There appeared to be a conversation between Steve Smith and the boundary at one point, almost late in the innings, almost signalling, hey, Uzi needs to get back out here. Were people aware of that in the later stages of the innings, that we could have an issue here?
Yeah, I think everyone knows the rules. Maybe just left a little bit too long and, 3 wickets in 5 balls or something obviously cost us.
That's good news for his long-term health, at least, that's you don't anticipate that'll be a problem for him later in the test?
I don't think so. Back spasms happen, reasonably often, and, get some anti-inflammatory and hopefully be right.
Pat Cummins with us on Grandstand at Stumps, Darren Lehman and Tom Moody alongside myself, Corbin Middlemass, with Australia 49 behind in the test.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Pat, obviously you may not have been in the batting meeting, but what was talked about, just how to combat this English attack? They've clearly come with a squad full of high pace. Was there any particular things that were talked about with regards to dealing with it?
Yeah, everyone does it a little bit differently. All our batters go about it a little bit differently. I think it's getting that balance right between when you feel like you need to absorb a really good spell. They've got some high-paced guys, but they're probably not going to bowl 20, 25 overs in a day. So can you get through those spells? And if not, it's, how do you make it yourself hard to bowl to? How do you try and keep the scoreboard ticking over? Especially in these shortened games, I think it's really important you don't get stuck out there.
Pat, really appreciate your time. Hopefully we see you out there in Brisbane.
Great. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Pat Cummins with us, the Australian skipper. Great to have him with us post-play here on ABC Sport. That might clarify a little bit on the Khawaja front. It was pretty quick to shut down any kind of follow-up questions on that. But remembering the reporting at the time from the team camp was that Khawaja had gone off the ground due to stiffness, to do stretching and for toilet breaks. So yep. They were the reasons that were provided. And then after a period of time, we got further clarification before Stumps. Oh, it was actually back spasms, and that's the reason why he's missing.
Just those back spasms, and we probably understand. But then, obviously, you can't miss it by a couple of minutes.
No.
I mean, you shouldn't. So that's just timing. And we're all entitled to a break here and there. I get that, and back spasms, etc. But the problem is the flow-on effect is this. Marnus has to open when he was at number 3. And Jake Weatherill has to take the first ball when he probably wasn't going to take the first ball. Mm. So that flow-on effect that where Usman's playing, facing Archer, senior player, need him to stand up, get there, take the first over, make sure that you have no damage, get through the first spell if you possibly can, makes it all a lot easier. So The flow-on effect makes it really hard. There's Smith straight in as well.
How good's this? It's Grandstand at Stumps, but our close friends, of course, from the BBC are inside the England camp. We can kick it over to Henry Moran. Henry.
Thank you very much indeed. And, yeah, standing on the boundary edge, Brydon Carr, who I imagine has a slightly different feeling to how you felt at the halfway stage of the day. I mean, it's been an extraordinary day's cricket.
Yeah, unbelievable day. Am I holding it?
I'll hold it here. Okay. There you go. That worked.
Yeah, unbelievable day. Look, 19 wickets in a day. That obviously doesn't happen very often, but that spell from Stokesy, you know, in the last session has put us in a good position going into tomorrow.
What was the conversation when England were all out at 172?
Yeah, look, he kept it very simple. We had 50 minutes before tea, and I thought the way that Jofra and Gus started was exactly what we spoke about as a group, and then we continued it as a group of five seamers throughout that last session. So, yeah, again, Stokesy said, you know, let's smash the wicket hard and let's get as much as we can out the wicket.
This feels like it's been England's game plan for the last couple of years, building up to this series, this battery of fast bowlers. What is the conversation? You say Stokesy says go in, bowl hard, bowl quick. Is it as simple as that?
I think I've said before, the group of six or seven seamers that we have in our squad, we all complement each other. We all have different skills and different attributes. And I think that will stand us in good stead, you know, going throughout the series.
A word on Ben Stokes. He's an extraordinary athlete.
Yeah, unbelievable. You know, he's the way he's trained over the last three, 4 months to get to this position and for him to be fit and firing. You know, today he reaps his rewards, and his character and resilience is something that this team looks up to and tries to be like.
There's been a lot of talk about the importance of a good start to the series for England. That spell of bowling and the way that you've performed in Australia's first innings might be so, so crucial to the series.
Look, it's put us in a good position after the way our first innings went. And, you know, I don't think much will change, you know, throughout the game. We're going to rotate our five seamers and try and get as much as we can out that wicket.
You don't seem to be able to take the smile from your face. It looked fun out there.
It was unbelievable, you know, the atmosphere throughout the day, even from walking into the ground this morning, you're almost going into a bit of the unknown, but the stadium and the crowd was awesome. It was great to see so many English fans as well, and looking forward to tomorrow.
Is there an acceptance, just as a little bit of a negative point, that England did fall away too cheaply?
I think we can reflect as a batting group. You know, even some of the guys that did get starts and runs today, they played in a positive manner. So that's something that we can look forward or look towards in our second innings.
Ashes cricket hits differently, doesn't it?
It's unbelievable. Awesome first day experience, and yeah, looking forward to tomorrow.
Well played today. Enjoy it. Rest up well. Thank you very much indeed. Brydon Carr here on the boundary edge with England having fought back and Australia at the close of play. 9 for 123.
Thanks, Henry. Appreciate that. Henry Moran alongside Brydon Carr on the BBC at the end of the day.
How good's that? It's a lot better. We do it well, don't we?
Handshake partnership. The ABC and the BBC. It's a partnership and a... it's not a rivalry, it's a partnership. Even though the fierce rivalry on the field between England and Australia, the camaraderie off the field fellow national broadcaster.
I do love Carsey. It's a great English language he's got, isn't it?
You talk about that. Is it a northern accent, southern accent, or a very, very southern accent
very, very southern.
South Africa?
Yeah, but anyway, he's a ripper, man. I coached him, obviously, with the Northern Superchargers, and he runs in, and he bowled a lot quicker today than everyone thought. I thought he surprised a few today.
We'll step our way through the day. There's so much to pull apart and discuss. Mitchell Starc, who just walked past us, is certainly one of those. So career best figures for him today. And he does it, Tom, at a time where there's no Cummins, there's no Hazelwood. He has to step up and lead the attack. It feels like he's a much maligned player as a guy who has a Hall of Fame resume and is a walk-up start in the Hall of Fame. And yet career best figures today at a time that Australia needs him most.
Yeah, absolutely. Stepped up when the country needed him. You know, had... obviously his two mates sidelined, so he had to step up another level. But the thing with Stark is that, you know, he seems to be able to own those big moments. You know, the big moments are the first overs. How often does he take a wicket in the first over? It's a test match in an Ashes series, or whether it's an ODI, an important ODI, he always has the knack of taking those early wickets in the first over. But that first spell, three wickets, was, you know, it was absolutely sensational, particularly given the pressure and the occasion, everything goes with it. And, you know, we've got to remember, you're talking about a 35-year-old that's dominated three formats of the game for a long period of time. So his durability has been quite extraordinary, and his journey's been extraordinary as well, because the first half of his career, I don't think there's been too many other fast bowlers that have been critiqued as much as what Mitchell Stark has been by various pundits about, you know, the lack of pace or the lack of swing or his action's not doing this or it's not doing that. But he has, the second half of his career, he has found comfort in being his authentic self and not worried about what the white noise is saying, and just focus on being who he needs to be as a fast bowler. And I tell you what, he's a special one.
Oh, he's unbelievable. I mean, you think about it, 758 off 12.5. They bowled England out in 33 overs, which is staggering, and then Australia 9 down after 39 overs. I've not seen a more entertaining day with only, what have you got? They've amassed 72 overs bowled. I mean, it was amazing. And Mitchell Stark, he summed it up quite quickly. He didn't try and swing the ball as much today, did he? He got the length right, pulled it back, and something that Scotty Boland probably should have done, he bowled a little bit full, Scott Boland. That was a worry for me, because I think they've targeted Scotty Boland. They're going to go after him each and every time, each and every opportunity. Yes, they threw it away 5 for 12 at the back end, England, but they're going to keep attacking Scott Boland.
So that's a concern going forward for Australia?
Well, they've played their hand, England. They've showed they're going 5 quicks. Bashir won't play in Brisbane either.
No chance.
They're going 5 quicks. They're coming here. They're going the West Indies of old. Remember, Joe Root is going to bowl like Vivian Richards.
Yeah.
You know, just a couple of overs just to soften the ball before the new ball. Yeah. And the 4 quicks are going, well, 5 with Stokes. And they're just going to pitch it up with a new ball, try and nibble it around, and then he's going to bomb the crap out of us.
We spoke about this, Tom, during the call. It felt like a big tick on that front, at least in the construction of their team when it comes to their bowling lineup. So even though the batting might need work, and it certainly finished in a hurry for them, losing their last 5 wickets inside the space of 18 balls. But this is what the preparation's been about, getting the nasty fasties all up and firing together. Just the second time we see Wood and Archer in the same team, beautifully complemented by Carson Atkinson. And they were able to shake the Aussies with the new ball, and Stokes came in and cashed in after that.
Yeah, look, it's early days. We got to recognise that. So I don't think we need to be making any wild sort of assumptions to what's going to how this series is going to unfold. But England certainly have got a set approach, and that is to intimidate Australia with their pace. They've worked very hard to get Wood up and running, but I can't see Wood playing any more than 2, maybe 3 test matches. But the other thing they've got is a guy called Josh Tung, which a lot of Australians haven't heard of, but he is another bowler of high pace. So he's around that 145 plus as well, creates difficult angles to the left and right handers. So they've got a battery of pace bowlers, and they don't have to rely on them bowling a large number of overs in a day's play, because they've got Stokes obviously up fit and running. So at maximum they'll probably bowl a 15 each to share a day's workload.
Oh, tops.
Yeah.
I mean, the funny thing is with the Stokes, and if he stays fit and it's a short game, you can actually risk Wood again. You can actually risk him in Brisbane on day night. They can go the same attack. Especially, this game's fast. I mean, we're talking 19 one day. You think it's not going 4 days at the moment. It might do if England bat a day and a half, and then Australia bat a day and a half again. But I can't see it going if England play the way. And they'll go harder, England, tomorrow with the bat. Mm. They'll want to take Australia on. So wickets are going to fall. If they bat a day, they're going to be 300-400 in front.
Yeah.
I think it's a 3-day game at the moment. And they could get bowled out, England, tomorrow. So, by the way,
speed kills, we know that, but there's two parts of it. This Australian team, by the way, today was the first test side in 99 years to have 10 players 31 years of age or older. The youngest player in the team and the only one sub-31 was Cam Green at 26. So not only do they want their quicks out here to be able to make the most of the Australian conditions, but how much is it playing into Australia's weakness that they do have these ageing batters? And as you know, Boof, as you get a little older, your fast twitchies slow down. Is it a worry for the Aussies against this at an advanced age?
Fast twitch fibers, they slow down. I'll tell you what, when you have Shoaib Akhter running in off a mile and you are proper pooping your pants, that is scary. He bowled to me at the Wacker one day, seriously, and I got bowled around my legs. But I've got around middle and off stump. up I was that far across because I was absolutely pooping.
Yeah, you're just getting in line, Bill.
Yeah, I was trying to get behind it.
Just to your point, Corbin, the thing that really stands out for me, and I made this point a few weeks ago just talking about this Ashes series, is that England have shown great diligence with their preparation and their planning for this series, where I can't help but think we've done the complete opposite. I think our preparation and our planning long term, I'm not talking about months, I'm talking about years, our planning long term is being exposed horribly with our bowling and our batting. That really does concern me. For us to not know 2 weeks before the start of an Ashes home series what our top six looks like. We didn't know whether Green's going to bat three or he's going to bat six or he's not going to bat at all. Webster, is he going to be fit? Is he going to play, not play? We're going to play both the all-rounders. Who's going to open with Khawaja? Who's saying Khawaja's a lock at the age of 38 and also showing some serious inconsistencies with the bat in international cricket? He's still scoring a few runs here and there in Shield cricket. But to me, it really, really shines a light on the poor succession planning Australia have had over the last 3 to 4 years.
Oh, I totally agree. It's going to be fascinating how it plays out. And again, as you said before, let's not be too hasty because tomorrow they could bowl England out for 170.
Oh, I hope
get
so.
And get them down or one down. You never know.
You can wake up now.
And that's going to be the challenge, isn't it, from an Australian point of view, because they didn't chop and change when they had opportunities. They didn't stick fat with some younger guys when they had opportunities. They went with the tried and trusted, and I get that because they're very loyal and they've had lots of success doing it that way. But having said that, you've got to know your side. I think their preparation in terms of playing time pre-Ashes was excellent. They played a lot more Shield cricket than they have in the past, so that was no good.
I'm talking personnel.
You're talking personnel and playing.
But also, personnel, but also this strategy around, okay, let's play McSweeney. Okay, he's playing, but he's batting out of position. So, Steve Smith's going to open because he feels a little bit restless at four. All these types of things are playing out to what it looks like today.
Yeah.
To me, hard decisions haven't been made. And, you know, as you know, Boof, Test cricket, one of the most critical positions is opening the batting because it is the hardest place to bat, without question. And it's a specialist position. You know, for us to even be thinking about Mitch Marsh to open the batting in a Test series, that's just a Hail Mary. You know, yes, it'd be great to see. We'd love it because we all love Mitch Marsh and we know he can bang the ball and he's an exciting player. But that's not the answer. And that is a show of poor planning.
This selection group has had a number of goes at trying to pick their successor for David Warner, and they've tried all different types of options. As you said, play guys out of position. We've seen Marnus as a stopgap option. We've had Constas in and out a couple of times. McSweeney, as you said, Smith did it for a period of time as well when the spot first came available, and now Jake Weatherill gets the opportunity. He was only out there for two balls. The first one he played away from the body, flashed out a plate and missed, and the second one, it's not the dismissal I'm sure he'd want to see back. This is how it sounded earlier today on ABC Radio. Jake Weatherill to Waits Archer. Oh, he's upended. Hit on the pad and Weatherill face down on the pitch. The throw comes in from the onside, hits the stumps. Weatherill's back in his ground. The T-line comes up. England are going to review it.
Pitching in line.
It is pitching in line. It's hitting. Weatherill's out. He goes for a second ball duck on debut. I mentioned during the call, it reminded me a little bit of Ricky Ponting at the Adelaide Oval against Jacques Callis. But yeah. Ponting was at the other end of his career at that particular stage at Test level. And it's, he was given not out on the spot. And as you heard there, had it overturned on the video. It's such a small sample size. We'll get to see him again. But whenever you're face down on your knees on the pitch, Boof, that's not a good place to be, particularly when the opposition's gone up with a big raucous appeal.
No, we'll give him a bit of a break, won't we, simply because first innings. But he is a lot lower than he has been in the past. And he makes some changes all the time. I know Jason Gillespie says he tweaks his technique a little bit here and there, but he is quite low. And Joffre Archibald, an outswinger sort of off a length, it seemed, and went away. And he sort of followed it first ball, and he just went full and straight and up. And, it was a good review from England. And Joffre Archibald's 145, so you're going to get those. But for a left-hander to miss a full ball straight where you can just clip it through your wicket, that's also a dangerous. That's a free shot for a left-hander.
Absolute freebie. But the other thing you need to take into consideration, I don't know what it was like for you, Boof, but when I was lucky enough to have my first experience playing for Australia, I didn't feel my legs for the first half an hour of innings, let alone the first.
And they're long.
And they're very long legs. But let alone the first 30 seconds, which is basically the chance he had. So just getting settled at the crease is a big thing for a debutante, you know, feeling some sort of rhythm, feeling like your hands, your feet and your whole body belong together. So he was not, he didn't even get out at the first gear, let alone...
I almost think Marner should have taken the first ball.
Yeah, well...
Because he's played. You know, he's actually experienced enough to go, you know what, I know what's coming and how it's going to play out. So I might be better to actually take the first ball and let Jake just sit there and get the atmosphere for a couple of balls.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what did you see from the rest of the batting unit? So Labuschagne and Smith both faced over 40 balls. Marnus out for 9, Smith for 17. And then the guys with the starts in the middle. So Head 21 off 35, ended up pulling a short ball from Stokes straight to mid-wicket and was caught. Green nicked behind for 24 and then Carey out for 26, caught by Cass of the bowling of Stokes, an uppercut down to third man. What did you make of the rest of the Australian card?
Yeah, pretty unimpressive, to be fair, but you also need to appreciate that it was a pretty high-class bowling that was on display and it was relentless. And they've got the depth and the pace to be able to do that. So it put the Australians under pressure. And I can't help but feel that, you know, it's good to have clarity over Usman Khawaja's situation, that he did have a back spasm, but I still can't help but feel that stumbling start with regards to the batting order all sort of played out to, you know, Australia trying to find their feet before even they faced a ball. So, you know, to me, that clarity was not there, and Australia certainly batted like that. But there was moments where you felt when Head and Green were sort of at the crease, oh, OK, we might be able to sort of chart our way out of this sort of difficult situation. But again, we saw some, you know, I hate using the word soft dismissal, but, you know, we saw some sort of average shots that, you know, that really don't reflect where the test match was at.
I mean, Travis Head jumping off the ground and sort of swatting it to mid-on. I mean, stand still and whack it over mid-wicket like you normally do when you're in form. And he was feeling a bit today and the wicket might have played that part. And
yeah.
Stokes got half trackers and, you know, caught it mid-ons. And, you know, Mitchell Starc, just hit that straight if you're going to try and hit it straight. You know, try and do that. I was just, even Carey stepping away and sort of chopping the third man. You know, don't need to do that. You be smarter. Try and hit boundaries, but boundaries that suit you. Play the T20 style. And Carey, I mean, you look at the three top scorers, Carey, Green and the Head, they all got in as such, but as Tom said, you never felt in totally. So you had to make a really important judgment call. And I think they had to be positive, and I think they tried to withstand the pressure, Smith and Labuschagne, early. They missed a couple of opportunities. You hit those for 4, you can at least put pressure back on the bowlers, and we missed opportunities there. But the Carey, Green and the Head, if one of those goes on and gets a 50, at least you're on parity with England.
And the other thing to take into consideration, and it's obviously for both teams, but it was quite a hard day to hit boundaries because the outfield's incredibly slow. So sometimes when you have a situation like that, when you are 2 or 3 down for not many, if you can get a sort of a run of boundaries in that situation, you're suddenly from being 3 for 30, you're 3 for 60 in a heartbeat. But those shots that were going through the field were only getting 2s. So your total's not, you know, your total on the scoreboard is not really impacting. So you still feel like we're in the mire here. We've still got to work hard. You're not being able to get those free boundaries, which you do. Most venues around world cricket now, you hit the ball half decently through the inner field, it's 4.
The Khawaja situation's a big watch, isn't it? Just even in terms of his performance. So obviously there's this mystery today surrounding why he's absent, why he's off the field for such long periods of time. It was initially told to us, look, he's off for stretching, he's having toilet breaks, and then later as the day goes on, and it becomes more and more of a storyline, clearly, when he's not out there to open the innings, then we learn a little bit more information. So it probably makes you think, why didn't we learn that information originally? Why didn't Cricket Australia just lead with that and say, hey, he's having back spasms? Or is it the scenario that perhaps the back spasms weren't that bad and they've just mismanaged the scenario, that they got caught out, the innings ended quick, they lost 5 for 12 in the space of 3 overs, and all of a sudden they thought, oh no, well, now we're in a pickle here that this guy can't open the batting. Oh, I'm fascinated to know where the seriousness is on the back spasms.
Could be either, and you won't find out, so there you go. Don't stop worrying about it, Corbin. Move on.
But
you're not going to know.
No, I get
what you're saying.
It's a fair point.
Yeah,
because
very fair
I don't
point.
Know if you've had back spasms, but I've had my fair share, and it takes minimum 24 hours, normally 48 hours, to overcome them. With anti-inflammatories, with physiotherapy, with massage, you can throw anything at it. That is generally the cycle. He came out to bat one of his first scoring shots with a pull shot, nice little paddle pull shot around the corner off Archer, I think it was. You can't do that if you've got a back spasm. I'm sorry.
Now we're talking big stuff, Corbin. I mean, for me, the Usman Khawaja one goes a bit deeper than obviously today. What's he done in the last... He's made 450s in the last 20 test matches or something like that?
He was our leading run scorer in the last Ashes series over in England. And since then, he's averaged 32 with the bat. But if you take out his double century and goal, and I hate doing this because you can say, oh, well, what if I got a double century in an innings where I got a duck, for example? Yeah. You don't add that on. But if you take that out and say, hey, that was one innings away from home in friendly conditions, he averages 26.
Because the interesting thing about goal, that's where you should have been playing Sam Constance.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where they
missed part of the whole planning.
Yeah, and that's the planning thing you were talking about early, Tom. So I sort of get that. He'll have to get runs. And depending on results, it might have to be quick. That's what it's going to be. If the results aren't going your way, they can't afford to waste time because they need to get back in the series. If it goes that way, if he comes out and gets 80, you're not out, and they win the game first test, it'll be all rosy. It won't be an issue. I understand that. That's the game itself. But right now, in this current format, they're going to go at us with five quicks, and they're going to keep coming at us. We've got to get better.
I was going to say, I look forward to eating humble pie if Khawaja goes out there and does that, because I'd love to see that, him to go out there in the second innings, shake off the spasms or whatever the controversy is around this, and just be the player we know that he can be and has been. But it is a concern, the age, the reoccurrence of a few little niggles here and there that we've seen. He had that little, a quad or an abductor sort of injury a few weeks ago. So, you know, and that happens when you get older, Boof. Simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get slower. Your reactions get slower, don't they?
Yeah,
I mean, when you've got a bloke bowling 145 clicks, it's not fun. For anyone listening, I can tell you it is not fun. So he slowed his reaction time down. He needs to sharpen it up because he has to be right on every ball.
Mm. Can we just have a word of appreciation for Ben Stokes? What a warrior to come on at the stage that he did. Ends up with a 5-wicket haul. I know the voice of summer, Jim Maxwell, is one of his biggest admirers, and a 6th 5-wicket haul for him today in Test cricket.
He just gets wickets, and he gets them in weird ways. It's unbelievable. He doesn't bowl great wicket-taking balls. Last week at Lilac Hill, what do you get, 5 or 6 half-trackers? Yeah. They're all half-trackers, mate.
Yeah, that's a plan. It's a plan.
He does it.
It's preparation.
In England, he does the same thing. He just comes on and has 3 back on the hook and just starts bouncing, and away you go.
Well, we've seen up in the back of the media room one of the game's greats in Lordy and Botham.
Yes.
And that's exactly out of the playbook of Ian Botham. That person that's got the ability, if it's doing a bit, to have the skill to be able to swing it, seam it, and be incredibly accurate with lively pace. But if there's not a lot happening, Beefy always seemed to find a way to take a wicket. Oh, caught point. Yeah, no, I was planned. All planned, mate. You know, or caught deep fine leg. Oh, he always gets out like that. It was planned. You know, but players like that always believe that they can impact the game. And the late, great Shane Warne was exactly the same, wasn't he? Warne used to say, just give me the ball. Just give me the ball.
And put it where you want, because it's not going to matter.
Yeah, he had this inner belief, and I think Stokes has got that deep inside him, that inner belief and that warrior that you meant, that, no, I'm not letting this go. And you could see the reaction when he was taking wickets, how much that meant, and how much that was just one of the building blocks towards the longer vision of winning this Ashes.
Tom Moody alongside Darren Lehman and Corbin Middlemass with you for Grandstand at Stumps. The close of play on day one of the first Ashes test of the summer. And what a day it was. 19 wickets falling for 295 runs. And Ben Stokes making it happen with the ball late in the piece. He missed out with the bat. He ended up with a 5-wicket haul. And England still have one to get. So Australia at Stumps. 9 for 123. They trailed the test match by 49. It was an amazing day. I mean, the half an hour pre-play was awesome. To be able to be down here, the anthems, God Save the King, the Barmy Army singing along, and you sort of looked around this beautiful modern stadium and this Coliseum on the Burswood Peninsula, and you think, gee, I think there's more English fans here than there probably are Australian fans. The amount of noise that they made. And then when we were standing in the tunnel just before Stumps, I was chatting to Mitch Turner, who's been here throughout the day and will be throughout the test match. I thought, what an awesome day if you're a travelling English fan today. Imagine
what a day.
Flying all the way to Australia for the start of the series. You get to sing along with the anthem. You think, this is great. England are competitive at lunch, 4 for 100. All of a sudden, it goes terribly. Midway through the day, the hot Aussie sun, the Perth sun, you're getting cooked. You're thinking, this is not what I signed up for. All out 172. And in the afternoon, when you're trying to drown your sorrows and just all of a sudden find a little bit of optimism in it all, they run through Australia and they go home tonight on a Friday night in Perth before the weekend when they're away from home on holidays enjoying their cricket team play. If they had a little bit of optimism at the start of the day, oh, they are rot in this series. What a day for a travelling English fan.
Oh, unbelievable. You would just love that, because at 172, you're going, here we go again.
Yep.
Oh, no. What's going on? At lunch, you'd be going, no, not bad. We'll see how we go. Six for 67 later in 10 overs, you're going, oh, no, here we go. And then all of a sudden, what impressed me was the start from Atkinson and Archer. The first six overs, we couldn't hit it off the square and didn't get an opportunity to. You know, and I'm going, well, how are they going to score? And that's where we're going to have to come up with some strategies, because we have to hit their bad balls.
We'll do it all again tomorrow. Thanks heaps for your insights. Great work, Tom.
Thank you. Been a pleasure.
Tom Moody, one of the world's great coaches and, of course, former Australian cricketer at both Test and ODI level. Thanks to you both.
Thanks, mate.